Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to AFR. Today's Wednesday, August the 5th, 2026. If you can believe it, we're already in August. All right, I'm Tim with Ed Battagliano. Welcome back, Brother Ed.
It's good to be back.
You were off yesterday. Well, you were working.
I was working from home.
Yeah, quote, working from home, right?
No, I really was working from home.
No, I'm kidding.
No, here's the thing. I was working from home because we had to get our air conditioner serviced. And it was one of those deals.
You're still working on that? Please tell me you got it fixed.
Well, it is.
That's brutal.
It's working.
Okay.
We had it serviced yesterday, but it needs a surge protector.
Right.
So that they have to order that. But it's one of those deals where we'll get there sometime.
Oh,
on Tuesday.
They gave you an 8 to 12 window?
It was actually 1 to 5.
Window?
And they got there about 5:30.
You stood at the window and looked out the waiting on them.
It's one of those deals where my wife doesn't want men in the house, you know, even
sure.
servicemen. So yeah. I like to be there.
Yeah.
And so that was the deal.
I worked
from home.
Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning.
I want to formally introduce the panel now. You can continue your inquisition.
So ours was out for just one day.
Yep.
Well, it was out while we were traveling. We found out when we got home. It was fixed within a day. But just that day window that we were there, I can only imagine this has been going on for a couple of days for you, right?
Well, it's working. It's working, but here's the deal.
Okay.
You know, because it's been so hot, every once in a while our power will flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And that shuts off the air conditioner, and it tries to like reboot, and then makes a terrible noise.
Okay,
and so, and I'm the same way in the morning, frankly. And so I looked online, and it was true that if you don't have a surge protector, it can completely fry your compressor when it starts to come back on. So it is working. We have air because this has been 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's been 2 weeks to get somebody out there.
So that's why you got pushed down to the list. Probably.
Well,
is it working? We'll
give us 5 more minutes to this.
That was
story. We need 5 more minutes. Go ahead.
No, that was the thing.
I was being empathetic.
Yeah. I told them, no, it's working, but I don't want this fry the compressor.
Yeah, no, you don't want
to
fry
the people
compressor.
Whose air conditioning was out,
I care, Ed.
They were pushed to the top of the list.
I care.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wesley.
Fred, my air conditioner's working fine. How about yours?
It's working very well, thank you.
Yeah. So we do have sympathy for you guys.
Doesn't sound like it.
86
hey,
degrees
my
when
man.
I walked in the house the other day.
It was 86 degrees?
When it was broke. They fixed it.
I'm just gonna say
it affects your attitude.
I am a 21st century man.
Yeah.
I don't know how people... I grew up without air conditioning up north, even.
Right.
But I've gotten used to it. I just take me to heaven. If an EMP goes off and we're all back in the 1800s, I'm going to jump in front of a team of horses, pulling a wagon.
Oh, real quick, I need to tell this story. I think people will find it a little humorous.
Oh, yeah. Wesley and I are going to
laugh.
We are going to laugh. So Brent Creeley and I live close by. Brent, our producer. You can pull the microphone up there, Brent. So, have you ever been in one of those moments when something you're a victim of something of an appearance that you feel like you need to explain yourself others because it's not what it seems like it is?
Yes.
So, Brent and I live. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning.
So, Brent and I live close by each other.
Yeah.
We frequent the same convenience store often.
You go hunting at the same time.
I don't hunt.
I know.
I hunt birdies.
Yeah.
I don't hunt deer.
On the golf course.
Eagles.
On the golf course.
Birdies and eagles.
Eagles. I did have an eagle one. No, I didn't. Yeah, I did. I had one eagle in my life.
Video
anyway,
game.
That's you're getting me distracted.
It's
okay?
so,
and
so
that's
easy.
Rare. Okay, so last night, I don't know what time it was, 7 or 8 o'clock, something like that?
Yes,
8 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
I'm at the convenience store, And I'm standing at the cash register, and the lady says, my cash register's frozen up. I don't know. Do they still call them cash registers, Brent? Do you know?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
People know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. It's a, it's not a register like old-fashioned, but that's what we still call them. Anyway, so the lady says, she's better by her shift. She says, I'm sorry, sir, but there's nothing I can do. I've tried punching every button I can up here, and nothing seems to open it.
Yeah.
So I call the owner, and he'll be here in a few minutes. Brent walks in, okay, while I'm up there.
Yeah.
Brent walks in the store. And
you have a bad attitude.
Oh, well, no, I had a good attitude.
Okay,
I was very patient. But on the counter, there had been a gentleman who had left the store. You see where I'm going with this?
Oh, this is awesome.
There was a gentleman who had left the store because he didn't want to wait.
Yeah.
Well, he was trying to purchase like a 24 Corona Corona alcohol drink. I don't know what you call that. What do you call that? It's not a beer, is it? Is
yeah,
it a beer?
It's not beer.
Anyway, it's sitting right in front of me. You can't miss it. It's a big old case. So I turn around to look, see who walks in the door, and it's none other than Brent. Brent, our producer. So, did you notice that? You couldn't help.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay,
but,
there you go.
But I didn't notice. I didn't notice it.
Okay. But you didn't notice it?
I know.
Well, maybe I was blocking it from you.
Other than he texted me.
Okay. Said I didn't know Tim had a drinking problem. Wow. He 24 at a time. I'm sitting there, and I'm also thinking, I don't want to lose my place in line. I'm first, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking, who else is going to come in this store?
Right.
Because the 24 Corona cold beer package is sitting right up there on the counter, and I didn't want to take it upon myself to pick it up and go move it. Because just as soon as I pick it up to turn and go move it, then somebody from the church is going to come in the door and look at me.
I'm just returning the beer.
Oh, sure you are. Yeah. So anyway, after we left, it's one of those things I felt the need. I didn't know that Brent didn't see it, but I just felt the need. I texted him and said, that wasn't my beer. You know, I wasn't buying a bunch of beer. Okay. I was just happened to be at the wrong place.
Would it be too much to tell my little beer story?
No,
Or should we just move on?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Real quick. This is back when I was pastoring part-time, working here full-time, pastoring part-time, and the church was having a chili cook-off. And I found a recipe for beer chili. Okay, now, I don't drink, but I'm not going to go to a store and buy beer. So
You're the pastor?
I'm the pastor, so I sent my wife.
Okay? Oh, that's better.
So I told her, I said, I don't want someone walking in. Most people in the community don't know you.
Right.
Okay, so and my wife doesn't care what people think.
Right.
So she goes to a convenience store. My wife has never drank alcohol in her life. And I, before I became a Christian, did. So she calls me while I'm at work, okay? And she says, they have all these beers here. I don't know what to buy. And I said, you know, my normal loud voice. I said, well, when I was, you know, drinking, I liked Michelob. I said, but I don't care if they have Budweiser. Just get something big in a can because it calls for one can of beer in the chili.
Okay.
And she said, does it need to be bottles? I said, no, it don't have to be bottles.
That would get really technical.
Just get a can. Right. She said, well, they won't sell me a can. Well, then just get a six-pack. We'll pour the rest. No, I don't think I said pour the rest out. I said, just get a six-pack. That's fine. And then I hang up, and I realize everyone in my department can hear what I'm saying.
But are you at the church?
No. This is at AFA. This was when I was working on the magazine.
Oh, you're working with us. Okay.
Yes. And so everyone can hear what I'm saying, but they don't know why I'm telling my wife to buy beer.
Everybody in a cubicle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. They're hearing me tell my wife, just get Michelob. That's what I used to drink. Get a six-pack.
The cubicles we used to have back in the day, I remember those. They were only for the cover motion. They were
no privacy.
No,
everybody knows everybody's business.
That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what happened to me last night.
I think that's very funny.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Don't worry, folks. The end of the world is still going to happen, and we're going to get to it momentarily. A lot of things going on here. Fred?
I just have to delete the picture that Brent sent me.
I'll be holding the case of Corona. Oh, man.
I didn't send it to too many people, Tim.
I didn't text it for Brent. I posted it
on Facebook.
I didn't know. I was probably blocking his view. But anyway, they got the issue resolved with the cash register after about 15 minutes.
What were you there to buy?
A payday.
A candy bar.
And a Coke.
Why do you care what I buy?
Because it's just funnier.
You beg the question.
That you were there to buy something as insignificant as a candy bar, got yourself in a jam.
Yeah, that's true. Some people go in convenience stores for candy bars. They sell a lot of them.
Yeah.
And potato chips.
Right.
Dill flavored, in case you're wondering. Mm. I try to give those a whirl.
With
and
candy
good.
Bar. That's disgusting.
No, I didn't eat them together.
That convenience store and all the other ones are starting to divide families because they're starting to sell the little squishies that all these kids are buying. So I go in there to get gas.
Oh.
And my kids walk in with me.
They know that the kids come in, they're going to get a squishy.
And then it's a no, you can't anyway.
I did buy a squishy for me.
Yeah. Those that have kids know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And grandkids, too. Yeah.
And the dill pickle potato chip flavor is pretty good. I would give that a whirl.
Salt vinegar, too.
I don't care. I live on the edge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you do.
I don't care.
That's what I think about when I think of Tim Wildman.
Edgy as can be. I'll eat dill flavored potato chips in the middle of the week. I don't even have to wait. I don't even have to wait to the weekend.
Not even the weekend.
All right, Fred, what's happening?
Save us, Fred.
Yeah,
Fred. It's a story that we've talked about on this program for weeks. Everybody has been watching the Democrat Party's Senate primary in Michigan. Who's going
to
win?
That's why it puts me to drinking.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. Fred, that's the last of that, Fred. Go ahead.
The radical left, Abdul El-Sayed.
Oh, yeah, Abdul.
Was he going to be able to beat the four-time Congresswoman, Stevens? And we can now tell you this morning, as of about a half hour ago, that he has won and Stevens has conceded. Abdul El-Sayed will go up against Republican Mike Rogers. This is a big, big story, folks. It is a big story within the Democratic Party because Abdul El-Sayed represents that far left DSA. He may not call himself a member of the DSA, but he's fully endorsed by Bernie Sanders and AOC and the far left squad members, you name them all. Stevens had the endorsement of Democrat governor of Michigan and others of the establishment of the Democratic Party. But it didn't work out that way. And so there's much to talk about on that avenue this morning. Now, Abdul El-Sayed gave an interview on a network this morning. He talked about his priorities and Fox News played that clip, and then Bill Hammer, Fox News host, came on and said it's interesting that Abdul El-Sayed didn't mention in that interview this morning what one of the big issues that Abdul El-Sayed has run on there in Michigan is basically the United States has to divorce itself from Israel. That was his big issue.
Really?
And then we had a clip. We hear a clip of El-Sayed during a debate in July talking about we've got to end our relationship with Israel. So here it is, clip of El-Sayed this morning. You hear a little bit of Bill Hammer, and then you hear El-Sayed in this July debate expressing his absolute opposition to the nation of Israel. Cut number two.
We want to get money out of politics, put money in your pocket, pass Medicare for all. We've got an opportunity to bring ourselves back together, to come together around a movement, to take our democracy back, to make sure we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, rather than of the corporations, by the billionaires, and for the special interests. And that's exactly why $70 million was spent against me in this race. They see me as an existential threat to the system of politics that is making it way too hard on everyday people.
So what he did not say in that clip was Israel, and on the stump, that's all he talked about, Israel and AIPAC. Here's from the July 7th debate in Michigan. Watch here.
For too long, our foreign policy has been handed to us by the likes of the State of Israel and AIPAC, who has made sure that Democrats and Republicans are doing their bidding. So long as our politicians continue to be bought off by AIPAC, do not be surprised when we fight wars that are in their best interest, to annex Israel, to annex Lebanon, or to do genocide in Gaza.
And just in case you're not familiar with AIPAC, AIPAC is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. It dumped a lot of money into this in hopes of defeating El-Sayed. And I would bet that now that we're in the serious campaign as we head towards November, that AIPAC will be very much involved.
Okay, so just to set the situation here for outsiders who don't live in Michigan, who maybe haven't followed this closely, that's what we're talking about. This is a very important Senate race because, well, every Senate race is important because it affects the nation. So just because this is in an individual state, this is not a governorship. This is a United States Senate seat that will go to Washington, D.C., and represent the state of Michigan, but also represent the country. And so this fellow who you just heard, by the way, that was the first time I've heard him. He is very well spoken.
He is.
And I was looking at his, some of his interview and pictures. I'm not one to say a man's handsome or not, because I don't know. I get confused with Brad Pitt a lot. People do that. And that... What are you laughing about?
I thought you said Peach Pit. I'm sorry. No, I had the wrong thing.
I get confused. People say you look a lot like Brad Pitt. I don't know how to react to that.
What do you say?
Is that good or bad? I guess that's good.
Yeah, I think it is.
So anyway, but this fella is, what I'm saying, this fella is a handsome man.
And he's young.
And he's well-dressed, and he's very articulate. He doesn't look like a wild-eyed, crazy, far-left communist lunatic like his politics represent. Right. Now, I will say another thing about the clips he just mentioned, right? So he will be a formidable candidate that the Democrat Party is putting forward. And those talking points he had resonate with a lot of people, okay?
Emotionally.
Yes. And so here's a situation. I want to get back to his Israel views in just a moment. Here's a situation. He's the Democrat nominee.
Yes.
Okay, in for the Senate seat in Michigan. A gentleman by the name of Mike Rogers, who's a former congressman, is the Republican nominee, and he didn't have to face any challengers.
That's correct.
In a primary, which was good for him because he saved a lot of money.
Yep.
His campaign did. So, now what I heard, Michigan is it's a purple state. That's more blue than red, okay? But what I heard, what I've seen, is that Mike Rogers, the Republican, is favored now.
Yes.
To win a statewide election for the United States Senate seat because, one of the primary reasons is because this gentleman, El-Sayed, is that his last name?
Abdul El-Sayed.
Okay.
His middle name is Muhammad. So, include that.
Were they all? Yeah. Muhammad, okay. Well, half Muslim men are named Muhammad, so you had me going there for just a minute. But Abdul, that's the second most popular name, Abdul El-Sayed, he is so far left that he may be too far left even for the voters of Michigan.
Yeah, I think you're on his page there. That's what you're looking for. He wants to get rid of ICE.
Right.
He said there shouldn't be any corporate money. This is going to be interesting. He wants to get corporate money out of politics, corporations out of politics. We're going to be watching where he gets his money.
Right.
Now, it'll probably come.
He'll launder it.
Yeah.
Grassroots. Come on, guys.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we're going to be watching. And basically, he wants America out of Israel. He wants to divorce Israel. Mike Rogers, you just mentioned, Mike Rogers responded this morning when it was still in flux a bit to the guy he's now going to face in the general election. Cut number four.
If you woke up this morning thinking we're still California because Wayne County still doesn't have their vote count in, you may be right. Our election system here in Michigan is broken. We're going to do a lot of work between now and November to help get that thing at least back in some semblance of order. First of all, think about it. He just came out a few minutes ago and said that he won the race, so he's declaring victory. This is really about the heart and soul of our country. I have never seen someone so radical, so extreme, get nominated by a political party. And the DSA candidates in the state in two different congressional races look like they're pulling it off as well. The Democrat Party is lost to this hardcore socialist attitude.
It's really interesting. In some of the initial analysis already this morning, Stevens did fairly well in Detroit. Now, some people expected it to go the other way. But here's where one of the places that Abdul El-Sayed did well, Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids on the western side of the state. But it has a bunch of small colleges. And so we're going to dig into that a little bit in the news department this morning.
We're more liberal.
Yeah.
So the small colleges.
You're talking about the young people.
Yeah. The young people. And that's who he has behind him. And we've said this over and over again. It's when these DSA people have rallies, you see young people behind them, and many of them are white young women who are being persuaded by this. And you heard, and I was listening to Abdul El-Sayed a little bit more this morning. He keeps mentioning, we're going to save democracy. We're going to save democracy. As if democracy has been lost and he's going to restore it. If you listen to their policies, let's get rid of the Senate. Let's get rid of ICE. When he talks about immigration reform, he then says in the next breath, we got to get rid of ICE. Okay, so how do you regulate and how do you protect the country?
He doesn't believe in borders. They don't believe in borders. Yeah. Those people don't. They don't believe in borders.
Well, you talk about chaos. But you know, Abdul El-Sayed is, and we don't have time, we're running up against a break here. But perhaps in the second half of this hour, we'll talk about another DSA candidate, folks. She right now is doing well in the race to be the next governor of Wisconsin.
She's another radical nutcase. Look, my opinion, by the way, El-Sayed got the endorsement of Senator Gary Peters, who was the Michigan Democrat senator who's retiring.
Uh-huh.
The Democratic Party is, as the young people say, is cooked.
Uh-huh.
They're done. And by done,
they don't see it that way. But
no, what I'm saying is the establishment Democrats are on the way out.
I got you.
This party is going far left,
yep.
And there is nothing the establishment can do to stop it.
Thing.
Okay? The young people who generally speaking, I'm talking about below
yeah.
In age, Wesley's group, below millennials.
So you're 25 and under.
Yes, I'm saying 25 and under, maybe even 30 and under.
Mm-hmm.
They have the lowest church attendance rates, the lowest rates belief in God, and the highest rates in believing in socialism. They are taking over the Democratic Party, and I don't see anything stopping them. John Fetterman, the Pennsylvania senator, he can't stop them. James Carville can't. Bill Maher can't. This party's going far left. This country is going to be deciding between conservatism and traditional liberalism and socialism. That's going to be the choice.
I would say that James Carville and that group has created this.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Now, they may have not have realized it at the time.
Yes.
But now it's
good,
too late.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
and
listen,
the Bill Maher's
class warfare has always worked to a certain extent.
That's right.
So he's pitting the, quote, wealthy and the corporations against the average person. That's very appealing to a lot of voters. The anti-Israel stuff, there's a lot of people on the right who subscribe to what he talked about with Israel controlling our politics. I don't agree with that, but AIPAC is a very powerful organization, pro-Israel,
right,
in D.C. That is true. Anyway, we can continue our conversation. We're also going to talk to a gentleman who is actually running for Congress, who is a Christian man.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano. Did you know that this show is listener-supported? Without people like you, this show would not exist. That's why we need you. A generous monthly gift of any amount will help sustain American Family Radio, specifically this show, as we reach thousands of people each week with biblical truth. Please consider becoming a monthly financial partner today by visiting afr.net/give. That's afr.net/give. Friend, we're living in a defining moment. Today, a woman facing an unexpected pregnancy can order the abortion pill online, often before anyone has the chance to tell her that she is loved, that she's not alone, or that there is hope. That's why you are needed right now. You are made for this moment. At Preborn Network Clinics, mothers are welcomed with compassion, practical support, and a free ultrasound. And when she sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat for the very first time, fear often gives way to hope. In fact, more than 80% of abortion-vulnerable women choose life after seeing their baby on an ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic. That one moment can save a baby's life and open a mother's heart to the hope of Jesus Christ. This is our moment to stand for those who cannot speak for themselves. Just $28 provides one life-saving ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. Please don't wait. Dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or give securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Together, we can save lives one heartbeat at a time.
Hello, Tim Wildman here, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, maybe you've heard some of my other announcements about our tours in March 2027. We are going to Greece and we're going to Italy. Two separate tours, but you can do both if you want to. The first tour is called The Footsteps of Paul, which will be going to many of the places covered in the book of Acts that happened in Greece. The other tour is Italy, and one of the places we're going to be going is Venice, and we're going to ride the gondola, or the gondola, that Paul took on his trip to Venice. You can read about that in the Bible, too. I'm just kidding, but you can call it a gondola or gondola. I don't care, but if you want to go on one of our tours in 2027, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. Psalm 95, 6-7.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues. That's the name of the show. We're here Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Trivia Friday, which is coming up a couple days from now. Appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. So we've been talking about politics and government, and we need more. We always encourage Christians to get involved in politics and government. It's not for everybody to run for office, but certainly you can support people who do, who share your values. And Hampton Harris is a candidate for the United States Congress. He's running on the Republican side. There are other Republicans in a primary with him. That will be decided soon, and then they will go on to the November general election. But I know Hampton, and says, why don't you come on and tell us why Christians should be engaged? And Hampton Harris joins us from, are you in Montgomery, Alabama?
So today I'm in Dothan, but I am from Montgomery. That's where I grew up, and appreciate you having me on today. And love what you're saying, because that's one of the reasons I got involved here. And I think it's really important for us as Christians to be as involved as possible, because so much of the world today leaves the Bible on the church pew on Sundays and doesn't carry it into the rest of their lives. And it's so important, because it needs to follow us into politics, into our work, into our play, because it's who we are. We are part of the body of Christ, and it really is defining our values. And so it's super important to get that involved and bring it out there. And that's something that inspired me to run.
What were a couple of influences on you, Hampton? What are you, in your mid-30s or something like that?
I'm younger than that. I'm 29 years old, so I'm young.
29 years old. Well, do you shave or? I don't even remember what it was like to be 29 years old. That was like another world behind me. So 29 years old, and so, but what were a couple of influences on you that led you into get out there on the campaign trail?
Somebody that's had a huge impact on my life, and I grew up going to church with him as my pastor. It was Pastor John Ed Matheson at Fraser Church in Montgomery.
Right.
And he always says, you have two choices. You can either complain about something or you can do something about it. And it gave a different outlook on life. It, we can be joyful and get out there and try to correct the problems, or we can just sit there and harp on the problems and complain about it, get nothing done. And so I jumped in this race back in January when it was a district that was drawn to be a Democrat district. And our representative, so our nation, as you know, was founded so that while we have Senate and representatives up there and president, they are our voices. They speak on our behalf. But the true leaders of this nation is we the people. And with that comes a great responsibility to send someone to D.C. that's going to represent our voice and represent Jesus in D.C. Because if we don't do it, nobody's going to do that on our behalf. And our current representative back in January and still has been up there representing us and voting on bills such as one that said that it wanted to protect babies that were born alive after a failed abortion attempt, give them the same protections as other children. And he voted against it. And I saw this evil going on in D.C. using our voice to vote on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And no one else wanted to step in and run against him. So I was the only Republican to jump in to run against him. So I was a Republican nominee going into May. And it was going to be an uphill battle. It was hard. But it was the right thing to do because we need to make sure that we are getting out there and making the difference that we want to see.
Yeah.
And so I jumped in and was running. And thankfully, the Supreme Court made a ruling saying that Alabama could use the lines drawn by our actual legislators instead of using lines drawn by a court. And so we got redrawn, and it's going to be a Republican-leaning district this time. And when that happened, they reopened qualifying. We had a bunch more Republicans jump in once it got a little bit easier there. And so we're facing them in an August 11th primary. It's coming up here in 6 days. We got it on Tuesday. The vote's coming up.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, go. We talk. Yeah, let me jump in here. Hampton Harris is our guest, joining us from. He's in Dothan, Alabama today. He's from Montgomery. He's running for Congress on the Republican side, and he is. We wanted to highlight the fact that Christians getting involved in government and sticking their neck out and running for office, and that's a good thing. We need more. We need more.
We encourage people to do it, especially young people.
Yeah.
Like Hampton.
All right, Hampton. What is your website if people want to learn more about your candidacy there?
It's HamptonHarrisForAlabama.com, and we're on Facebook and Instagram as well on Hampton Harris for Congress.
Okay. One last question. When you run for office in Alabama, do you have to pick Auburn, Alabama, or can you versus Alabama, or can you want all voters to vote for you?
Well, I'm a big Troy fan, so...
Troy fan. Okay, there you go. You're neutral.
That's right. We're going to be pulling for the Trojans.
The Trojans. Okay, I got you. So you invite Trojans and War Eagle and Crimson Tiders to all vote for...
All to vote for.
Get out there. Make sure your voices are heard. Make sure we uphold your values in D.C. Yeah. And send somebody up there that's going to stand for Jesus.
I got you. Amen. Thank you, Hampton. God bless you, brother. And you have a safe and successful campaign.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Okay, bye-bye. 29 years old.
Hey, I'm looking at his webpage, HamptonHarrisForAlabama.com. He and his wife have 7 children.
This is what I'm looking at.
Can they vote? Because if they can vote,
could swing the election.
I would go with him.
That could swing the election. Listen, when you've got skin in the game, you're more likely to try to influence what's happening. And obviously, he and his wife have 7 children. That's what you call skin in the game in terms of the future of our country.
That's exactly right. That goes back to our first segment. A lot of the young people that are voting for the Michigan
Al Saeed.
They're, like we said, 25 and younger, no kids, and they've been conditioned by college campuses and everything else. In this case, he's 29 years old, 7 kids, a lot of responsibilities, and that does begin to change your thinking, even apart from just a biblical worldview. I mean, you start thinking about the future of your kids.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Okay, yes. Well, now everybody knows who Abdul El-Sayed is, and you will get to know him even better over the next couple of months as we go up to the general election. Well, there's another name I think you're going to get to know as well.
She is in the Midwest.
Yes, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
She is a Democrat.
Fred, that would be Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay. Yes.
Cheeseheads.
Yeah, cheeseheads.
Okay.
Her name is Francesca Hong. Francesca Hong.
Okay.
She wants to be the next governor of the state of Wisconsin.
All right.
Go down the list of these DSA people. You know, they want to get rid of ICE and they want to get rid of the Senate. But she said something controversial back a few weeks ago.
By the way, is she the nominee or is she running on the Democrat side?
She's running
on
the Democrat side.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So she hasn't become the nominee yet, but she wants to be the Democrat nominee to be governor of Wisconsin. She did a television interview.
Well, she did this interview a few days ago.
Okay.
She was asked about the declaration that she made that she thinks Thanksgiving should be canceled. And so she was interviewed.
Like what?
Yeah, Thanksgiving should be canceled. She was interviewed on CNN by Donald Trump's favorite CNN reporter, Caitlin Collins. And Caitlin Collins challenged, do you really want to get rid of Thanksgiving? So here's a little bit of that conversation. Cut number 10.
One thing that they brought up as well was a post from you in 2021. Where you said Americans should cancel Thanksgiving, should have done this in 1621. The post has been deleted. Republicans have been highlighting it. Do you still believe that Thanksgiving should be canceled?
I'm a chef, and one of the first meals that I made that was for the community when I was 16 was a Thanksgiving meal. You know, I always think my hospitality background in owning a restaurant for 7-8 years, that bringing folks around the table to share conversation and build community is always a good thing. But Thanksgiving is also a time that's incredibly painful for many people in our communities. And so I think there I wanted to make sure that people understood that there are multiple views, but you know, views can evolve. And the position that I'm running for right now, and I think my background as a chef, will actually help me become a better governor that's able to bring more people to the table.
Okay. Before we jump into the contents of what she said.
Right.
I don't trust any chef who's against Thanksgiving. Huh? Do I have a point, ladies and gentlemen?
You do have a point.
Okay. Anyway, what's her name again before Ed waxes eloquent? And I know Wesley wants to jump into
Francesca Hong.
Okay, Ed, her name is Francesca Hong. What do you think about her comments there, Ed?
Well, first of all, I do have to agree with her that I've had many uncomfortable Thanksgivings. Okay?
Especially afterwards.
I have eaten way too much, been very uncomfortable. And I would even say, I would even agree with her, painful. Okay, it's been painful.
Yeah.
Listen, this whole idea about not celebrating our history because some people are uncomfortable with it or it causes pain is a self-defeating argument because her view causes me pain and makes me uncomfortable. Okay, so that means, according to her logic, I should celebrate Thanksgiving And she should stop talking about Thanksgiving causing other people pain because her view causes me pain. So let's just stop all that nonsense. We don't make decisions in this country based on emotions. Emotions enter into it, but you're not going to get sound public policy based on how you feel. You're going to get sound public policy based on the facts and about truth. And this idea that we stole the land and therefore we can't celebrate Thanksgiving is ludicrous. I would say, yeah, some of this land was stolen, but that is the way everyone has behaved, including the Native Americans. Okay? So, and I'm not sure what Hong is in terms of nationality or ethnicity, but I guarantee you, Francesca, your people, you're from way back, they stole someone's land too, and we just need to move on. And
well,
I'm celebrating Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is about the pilgrims and the Indians getting together for a peace meal and then thanking God for his blessings of life.
Right.
What? And then, you know.
It's an attack on American history. And well, it's then, attack then, on then our
move.
Country.
Then go. Yeah. Then move, and go somewhere else.
She doesn't okay. want to move. She wants to take over the country that she says white people stole from Native Americans, so that Francesca Hong, who is neither,
right.
okay, can right. run the country.
Yeah,
she's not leaving, going anywhere. That's what yeah. makes me upset with these folks.
Yeah. But we're not done yet.
Oh, great.
Oh, yes. good.
This we had more about Francesca
more from Hong.
Yeah. More okay. about Francesca Hong this morning on Fox and Friends. When I walked into work this morning, they were dealing with this. Like some of the DSA candidates, they like to play the race card. All right. We have a problem with racism yeah. in this country. And so they played a clip of her talking about this, where she mentioned the phrase proximity to whiteness.
Now, we do need to give just a little bit of a warning to yeah. our parents.
Yeah.
This is going to discuss where babies come from, our yes. conversation.
Yes.
So if you're not comfortable with that with little ones around, you may want to
And the other part, context, she has a white male friend through which she's had a child.
That's disappointing.
Okay. So, but coming out of this clip where she talks about proximity to whiteness, we have Fox host Lawrence Jones, Lawrence B. Jones. He goes ballistic over this because he...
And we're going to hear that.
Yes. Now, a little bit about Lawrence B. Jones, Lawrence Jones.
Be ready to spew your coffee out.
Yeah. He was a Democrat.
In laughter,
who eventually became a Republican.
I'm going to warn you.
And he has no time for people playing the race card, okay?
Is he black?
He is black.
Okay.
Black from Texas, all right? Right. And he just...
Well, we can hear
was,
it.
He was animated, okay? So let's have a listen. This is cut number 11.
And proximity to whiteness continues, right? My son is biracial. He's half white and half Korean. And I think navigating, you know, what his identity is and how people perceive him is always at the back of my mind.
Proximity. You slept with the guy? I mean, think of all of these candidates, all these candidates that speak so much about the racism and Kamala Harris. Married to a white guy. All of them are married to white people. And they talk about white privilege and how it's oppressive to everyone. And meanwhile, they all marry them. And I just don't think you should believe them. I mean, come on, it doesn't get any closer than sleeping with the guy, proximity. Like, come on.
They were very close.
Right.
That's a mic drop.
That's not a comedy skit. That's live Fox News, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yep.
He was ready to come out of his chair.
So this...
Complaining about proximity to whiteness.
This woman,
she's Korean. Yeah. He says she's Korean.
She's Korean. She lives in Wisconsin. She wants to be governor of that state, which, by the way, has a lot of white people.
She's talking about proximity to whiteness.
She's talking about navigating with her son,
right?
His identity. She should have thought about that before.
Right. I know. Before she slept with that dude.
And had a baby with him.
So, proximity to whiteness? What does that mean? Should I be worried about that?
That's a
buzzword. No, you're part of the problem.
Huh? That,
you're part of the problem.
Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking all around this room.
It's pretty white.
Yeah, it's pretty white room to me, and I'm worried. Should I be worried about this?
Yeah, well, you should. I mean, you can't
you
catch anything.
Are you saying I'm part of the problem?
You can't. Well, we're white people, and listen, this is not playing like it did in the wake of the George Floyd protests. People are getting, white people especially, are getting tired of this kind of talk.
And weary.
And weary of it. And I don't think it has, except for a small radical part of the Democratic Party, or I would even say just the left in general, people aren't buying this. And
black people aren't buying it.
And a lot of black people aren't buying it, including this gentleman. Okay, so the fact is, you're complaining about the founding of this nation and the founding history and the founding principles, and then you want to join the system that now governs this country, and you want to get rid of the governing principles and institute other opposite governing principles, but you're not giving it back.
Okay,
that's why I don't want to hear about stealing the land.
Do you want to say about this, Wes? Because I got another point here. What's a lady's name again?
Francesca Hong.
Does she identify as a woman?
Yeah,
I just want to make sure. I don't want to be unfair.
Today she does.
What's her name?
Francesca Hong.
Francesca Hong. Who is a shelf, by the way. She made that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Wes, did you want to say anything? Because I got one other thing to say.
You go first.
Well, somewhere along the way, Francesca's people, who were from Korea, decided to come to the land of white races and immigrate here.
And get really close
and get
to
really
white people.
Close to white proximity. Or that I double talked there, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She is free to go back to Korea if this is really causing her anxiety. I don't know. Does she forbid white people from coming to her restaurant?
No.
Well, you should. That puts you close to white proximity.
Yeah.
Am I right? So anyway, that's what I wanted to say. Wesley, go ahead and we'll wrap this up because we beat up on Francesca a lot here the last 5 minutes.
By the way, she doesn't believe in prisons either.
Nope.
She said she believes she wants a land without prisons.
Without prisms or prison?
Prisons.
Yes.
Where you put
criminals.
I'm against
prisms.
You're against
myself,
prisms.
That's part of my campaign.
Yeah.
And my question to her would be, if she stated that, and I've heard other DSAs say this, okay, do you have a lock on your door at your house?
Yeah, of course she does.
They do. They
do you have
their,
a lock
they
on
lock
your door?
They lock their cars, too.
Yeah.
They're complete hypocrites on that kind of stuff. Wesley, go ahead.
In the first clip we played about Thanksgiving, she mentioned that views can evolve. Views on Thanksgiving can evolve. Well, the Democrats don't believe in that because if they evolve the backwards,
is she is that her trying to say I've evolved and I'm no longer against Thanksgiving? Is that
No. She was saying that the Democratic views or her position is that people do need to have evolving views on Thanksgiving and our founding of our country. But she doesn't really believe that because if they evolved.
You have
and
to
they
evolve one way.
That's the point. That's the point.
All right, enough Hong talk.
Hey, before we finish up, I need to talk about it is Truth for Youth Week.
Yeah, let's talk about something positive.
Yeah, we hadn't said anything, and we were talking about Hampton Harris, who's a young man, not even 30 years old, running for Congress. Our young people are very important. They're very important to this ministry. They're very important to the kingdom. They are very important to the future of this country. So that's why we dedicate a whole week here in August and have done so for 25 years prior to this. This is our 26th year to do National Truth for Youth Bible Week. You have been hearing about it all week. You're going to continue to hear about it all across American Family Radio. We're asking you, our listeners, to help us give away thousands of free Bibles. Yes, I said free Bibles to young people across America. So AFR and Revival Fires International, we partner together this week to provide the only hope for teens, that is the Word of God and the gospel. And so these Bibles are free. What Revival Fires International, you've probably heard Evangelist Tim Todd on the air with us here a number of times this week. His ministry will give away a free Bible to every teenager who is listening, or if you're a parent or a grandparent and have a Christian teenager in your home or in your family, if they will commit to give this Bible away to someone they know in school who needs Jesus, Revival Fires International will give you that free Bible. If you have three teens, you can get three free Bibles. And so these every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who promised to pass it along get a free Bible. And by the way, over a million Truth for Youth Bibles have already been given away in the past 25 years as a result of this project. Tens of thousands of young people have received Christ. Our goal is to give away 65,000 Bibles this week. Here's how you do it. Parents, grandparents, you can order the Bible on behalf of your son or daughter. Two ways to do it. You can go to TFY.org. That stands for Truth for Youth. TFY.org. Or you can call this number, 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. That rings directly into the ministry of Revival Fires International. Call between 8:30 and 4 p.m. Central Time. And by the way, when we say these are free, they are absolutely free. You get them for free if you will promise to give it to the teenager in your home and they promise to give it away. No one's putting your name on a list or anything like that. Free Bibles. They're already paid for. Free to give away. Call 800-733-4737.
All right. We're going to take a short time out right here and return. Steve Paisley Jordahl will come into the studios and deliver the news unto us. We'll see you back here in a few minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.